Okay. We're holding on one of Zion of the Days, about two-thirds of the way down the Omer. The line begins to hashta. Yeah. Okay. Okay, so we discussed yesterday, we were discussing the question, what mitzvahs apply, what does it mean, well, let's put it this way, what does it mean when the Torah mentions by some mitzvahs, the Torah introduces some mitzvahs with the word bia, ki sabayu ala aretz, or words to that effect, and sometimes the Torah mentions in connection with a mitzvah the word moshe, that's to take that it's in effect homo shreiseichem. So we have
sometimes both. So we had
a couple of different opinions. We had several different opinions what all this means. We have one Tanit Veda Bishmal who says that when you have both of them, Bia and Moshe, it means not only it applies only in Eretz Yisrael, but it only applies after the 14 years of Kibbush V'Chiluk, after they divided and conquered, and after they conquered and divided and settled Eretz Yisrael.
If it says Moshe.
If it says Bia and Moshe. Then we had another Tanit Veda Bishmal who said that no, it just says Bia.
Before the conquest and during and after.
After the conquest and the settlement, after the 14 years. Before that, it wasn't in effect. Then we had another Tanit Veda Bishmal who said that no, only when it says Bia. Without even saying Moshe, when it says Bia, because you have two places where the Torah tells us that Bia is connected with Yerusha v'Yeshiva, then we learn from it to all the others. We said yesterday, according to that opinion, it's not called Shneiks of Abayim Te'achad because we couldn't have learned Melech and Bikurim because we couldn't have learned one from the other. We needed to say it separately by each one. But that's the thing. According to the second Tanit Rabbi Shmuel, it means since in two places the Torah tells us that it's connected with Yerusha v'Yeshiva, settling and inheriting Eretz Yisrael, then it means always. Then it means that then so 14 years later, after they finished conquering and settling. Then therefore every time it says Bia, that's what it means. Without even having to say Moshe. That you have two different opinions within Tanit Rabbi Shmuel. And then we had also the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, who pointed out that after all, for example, by Shabbos it says Moshev, it says B'chomesh V'seichem, and we know that it applies everywhere in the world. So that brought us to a third possibility, which is that maybe you want to say that maybe the word Moshev means that it applies everywhere in the world. So now, getting back to... So
the difference between Moshev and Moshev.
It's the same thing. Moshev is just the shorash of the word. There's more using Moshev in the sense of when it says Moshev V'seichem, just to keep it just a shorter term. Okay, so the Gemara says, okay, so we established yesterday that any chovas aguf, any mitzvah that has nothing to do with the land or anything, that's an obligation on your guf, for example, tefillin, we said yesterday, applies whether in Eretz Yisrael or whether in Chutz Lo'aretz. Moshev, the Kosev, Rachmana, Gabi Shabbos, Lomali. Why taka does the Torah say Moshev by Shabbos? That was Rabbi Akiva's argument to Rabbi Shmuel, that the fact that it says Moshev there, Moshevos, and it applies, Moshev Seichem, and it applies everywhere in the world, means that generally... Therefore, whenever the Torah says about a mitzvah Moshev Seichem, it means anywhere in the world. Shabbos and mitzvah is a chavos aguf, obviously. So according to, it's not a steer, but the question is, according to Rabbi Shmuel, according to either Tanit Veda Bishmal, what are they doing with that word Moshev? The answer is, itzrich, we need it, because otherwise you would think, since after all, Shabbos is written in connection with all the other Yom Tovim. In Parshas Emor, when it starts the Parshas HaMoedos, that we lay in on the Yom Tovim, we'll land at the first day of Pesach. The second day of Pesach, rather. The first one that it mentions is Shabbos. So you would think, Hoyle bin Yonah de Modus, since it's mentioned in connection with all the other Modus, Tiboy Kiddush Ki Modus, you would think maybe then Shabbos needs to be sanctified by Beis Din, just like the Modus. We know the Modus are not in effect until Beis Din declares the Chodesh, until they declare Mekodesh Chodesh. And then it's Rosh Chodesh, and then from that we count the Yom Tovim. If it weren't for the word Moshev Seichem, you would think that maybe Shabbos is the same thing. Maybe every week the Sanhedrin has to get together and decide that it's officially Shabbos. Yeah. And Rashi adds that then what it would mean is that's where, how do we know that? How do we know that? And actually, Rashi points out, if it did, it would mean that they could only be doing it in Yehuda, only because they really only Kiddush HaChodesh can only be done in the south of Eretz Yisrael, in the southern part of Eretz Yisrael, the area around Yerushalayim, unless it's an emergency situation, then they're allowed to do it in other places. Yeah. So therefore, you would think Chamash Malon, that is the Kiddush, therefore that it doesn't. That Shabbos is different than all the other Moedos, because Moshev Seichem.
And we know that it's different?
Because it says Moshev Seichem. Instead of by the Yom Tovim, it does not. Actually, it's an interesting thing that one of the Mefarshim, I think it's Pnei Yeshua, I don't remember, says an interesting thing. There's two other of the Yom Tov in that parasha that also says the word Moshe Seichem. One is Yom Kippur, one is Shavuos. He says, why, maybe the Rambam says this, I don't remember, he says, so why Taka does the Torah mention Moshe Seichem by those also, Chodesh Agur? He says, because you would think Yom Kippur is connected with the Avodah and the Mishmash. Shavuos, the big thing is, there's no special mitzvahs for that day except the ones in the Mishmash, the Shtei Alechem. The Bikurim is an individual thing that you start bringing Shavuos time, but the actual mitzvahs that you do on the day of Shavuos itself are all in the Beis Mikdash, the Shtei Alechem and the Korbanos, both of those things, then you would think, no Beis Mikdash, no Yom Kippur, and no Shavuos. And therefore, the Torah had to write Moshe Seichem by those also.
Or else we would think,
so you don't keep Yom Kippur when there is Bizman HaGolos, and you don't keep Shavuos Bizman HaGolos, yeah. Okay, next. How about Moshe of the Kasser Rachmanah Gav Echel of Adam Lamali? What about you have another mitzvah, which is a Chovas Aguf, which the Torah mentions the word Moshe Veseichem by it. The mitzvah that you're not allowed to eat Chelev and you're not allowed to eat blood. So Lamali, what do you need the word Moshe Veseichem by it? Again, the answer is Istrich, you need it. Sakhra Adachamina Chelev in Yonah de Korbanos Chsivi. Because after all, where does it say this Istrich of Chelev and Dam in connection with the Korbanos? It's in Parshas Vayikra and Sav, while discussing the Korbanos. So you would think, Bizman de Ifa Korban Nitzah Chelev Adam, you would think only when there's Korbanos, a Chelev and Dam also. Bizman de Lech Korban Loi, when there's no Korbanos, then Chelev and Dam shouldn't be also. Kamash Malam, therefore we need the word Moshe Seichem by those as well. To tell us that it applies at all times and all things.
There's no Korbanos, you can eat Chelev and Dam?
Maybe. How would you know? If you didn't have a Pasuk in the Torah that says that not, then yeah.
It says that I have Chayit.
What is B'damai Chayim? Okay, that's a pasuk from Nevi'im. You don't learn halachas from Nevi'im mostly. Okay. Next. Moshe b'kasu rachmona gavim matzo umar olamali. What about another mitzvah that it says Moshe v'seichem by? That when b'chol Moshe v'seichem toch l'matzes. Okay, then it mentions Morah over here. Many Mefarshim say it doesn't really belong over here because Morah, in fact, first of all, Morah doesn't apply to Araisa nowadays. It's only the Rabbanan when there's no Korban Pesach. And anyway, it doesn't say Moshe V'seichem. It only says B'chol Moshe V'seichem Tokel Matzah. It doesn't say Morah in that
passage.
So maybe we should remove it. There are Mefarshim we'll find for maybe there's a reason why it says it. All right, anyway. So Lomeli. What?
Matzah.
Yeah, so Matzah at least. Lomeli, what do you need Moshe V'seichem there?
It doesn't say Morah.
Yeah, that's true. Tosfos Taka just says Moshe of the Kasher Rachmanah. I mean, Matzah Lomeli, they also leave out the word Umara. Yeah. Anyway, that's also a Chovas Aguf. The answer is Iftrich. You need that one as well. It says by the Pesach Sheni, which we learn a number of the dinim of the Korban Pesach from that the Korban has to be eaten with Matzahs and with Matzahs and with Mara. So with Mandi Ika Pesach Ein, so you would think maybe only when there's a Korban Pesach do you have to eat matzah and mara. With Mandi Leka Pesach Loi, when there's no Pesach, you don't have to eat matzah and you don't eat mara. Kamash Malon. Therefore, that is why the Torah says Moshe Seichem by it. To tell us that matzah at least applies midoraita in all times at all places. Mara taka is midrabanan nowadays only when there's no Korban Pesach. Church is mentioned, by the way, that actually you have Bia by Pesach also, the Hoya Kiviacha, and it mentions the mitzvah of Pesach over there. The Tosfos answer is that that's a different thing. That's, as the Gemara is going to say, in connection with another, with Tefillin and Petra Hamur, which are all in that parasha, that these are all mitzvahs that do them in order that in that schus you'll come into Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't mean Bia that they only apply when you come into Eretz Yisrael. According to this understanding, it means do them now in the midbar, in the tzayim or in the midbar, in order and in the schus of that you will eventually come into Eretz Yisrael. So that's the next thing. Be of the kasev rachmana gabit tefillin and petach hamor lomeli. Why does the Torah mention v'hayyaki v'yacha and then mention the dinim of tefillin and petach hamor in v'hayyaki v'yacha? The answer is Ahumi Barulah Lechivatanet Rei Rabbi Shmuel. That we need to teach us what Tanet Rei Rabbi Shmuel taught, not that they apply only after Yerusha V'Yeshiva, but rather Asay Mitzvahs Yerusha B'Shvila Tikkanes Laaretz. Do these mitzvahs in order that in that course you will come into Eretz Yisrael.
So why is that?
So in other words,
that was in the midbar.
Right, so there's a difference. In other words,
what about now?
So once you came into Eretz Yisrael, once these mitzvahs are in effect, they don't go out of effect. Tefillin and Petach Hamor are Chovas Aguf. We established before that Chovas Aguf applies everywhere. So there's no reason to limit them only after you come into Eretz Yisrael. Now, there might be, actually. Tosfos that we discussed yesterday at the very end mentions that maybe since it says V'Hoyaki V'Yacha in connection with Pesach, maybe Taka had only applied after they came into Eretz Yisrael, and that is why maybe they didn't have one...
They did,
that's what we're saying. That's what we're saying. Piyah over here does not mean that only tefillin only applies after they come into Eretz Yisrael. It means that do the mitzvah of tefillin and the mitzvah of tetachamer so that you'll have the schus to go into Eretz Yisrael. When it comes to Pesach, actually Tosfos yesterday said that maybe Taka can mean only after you come into Eretz Yisrael, and that might be the basis. Tosfos says that's one reason. That might be one basis why they didn't do a Kodin, why they didn't do a Kodin Pesach the other 38 years in the Midbar. They only did the 1 year in Mitzrayim, the 1 year in the Midbar, Afiyat Dibur, the Eibush specifically told Moshe, and then not again for the rest of the years.
So
one reason might have been because they since the pasuk says v'ha'yu k'viyacha, then they understood it to mean that only after you come into Eretz Yisrael. Again, we said yesterday there's other reasons as well. They were Arelim. Yeah, that's another reason.
That's what the Levim did have a
reason. The Levim would be a mute. Okay, yeah. Fine. Okay. Next. Bishleim lamadu amakom makom shatim yoshu mashma. Okay. If we say, like Rabbi Akiva says, that Moshe means any wherever you live in the world, then the mitzvah applies, then... Now, by chadosh, the Torah says the word Moshe. The Torah says the chadosh is also b'chol moshvei sechem. If you say that means anywhere in the world it's Aser, then, so that's Rabbi Akiva, also Rabbi Eliezer, we said in the Mishnah, Hainu Dechtiv, then we can understand that Chodesh is, no, they said that Chodesh is everywhere. Rabbi Eliezer is saying that it's everywhere, and Rabbi Akiva, by implication, because he's saying Moshav means that Moshav, which says Moshav Seichem also means everywhere. So then we can understand how it is that the mitzvah of Chodesh applied immediately when they came into Eretz Yisrael. And we see a pasuk about that. The pasuk says in Yoshua, Vayochlu, it says that Torah, the first day of Pesach, Vayochlu me'avura ordet me'machras ha'Pesach, it says they ate from the grain, the produce of the land, the day after Pesach. On the face of it, that means the 16th of Nisan. Pesach is Tesvav, so me'machras ha'Pesach would be Tezayin. Implying Mimachras HaPesach Ochol Me'ikra Lo'ochol, so they could only eat the grain of Eretz Yisrael beginning on the 16th, not the 15th, not any time before that. They came into Eretz Yisrael the 10th. So for those 6 days in between, they couldn't eat yet from the grain of the land. Why not? Because it's Chodesh. Alma Akruv Omer B'Hadr Ochol. What would they have to do? They'd have to first bring the Korban Omer on the 16th of Nisan, and only then were they allowed to eat it. Meaning, because Chodesh becomes also as soon as they come into Eretz Yisrael. But if you say, according to Rabbi Shmuel, according to Tanan Vei Rabbi Shmuel, that it means that it only applied after the 14 years, Nechol Alter. What is the Torah telling us? That they had to wait until the 16th of Nisan to eat from the grain of Eretz Yisrael. Why don't they start eating it right away on the 10th? Yeah. Before we go further with the discussion in the Gemara, Tosfos points out an interesting thing. The Eben Ezra asks the question. This is one of only one or two places in all of Shas where Eben Ezra is mentioned. He was originally from Spain, but he traveled over a large part of the Jewish world, and he wound up in France at one point and spent some time there. He became a good friend of Rabbi Natan. So anyway, he asked the question. Doesn't the word Pesach in Chumash mean the day of the bringing of the Korban Pesach, which is the 14th of Nisan? Mimacharas HaPesach would be the 15th. What are we talking about over here? What are we talking about over here? The 16th.
Pesach
means Pesach. No, that's the question. In our terminology, we use the word Pesach to mean the Yom Tov that begins on the 15th. But the Torah uses Pesach to mean the day of the bringing of the Korban Pesach. The Torah calls the Yom Tov Chag HaMatzos. Same as that's the point. That's the Eben Ezra's question. In our terminology, yes, you would say Pesach is the 15th. Mimacharas HaPesach is the 16th. In Torah terminology, Pesach means the 14th. Mimacharas HaPesach will be the 15th. Like it says in Parashat Matzah, Mimacharas HaPesach Yotzei Bnei Yisrael B'Yad Rama. They didn't leave on the 16th. Yeah, never mind. Pesach. Yeah. But so Mimacharas HaPesach Yotzei Bnei Yisrael doesn't mean they left on the 16th. It means they left on the 15th. So Tosfos gives...
Pesach comes from when the time...
Yes, and that was the night between the 14th and the 15th. But that's the Pesach, and it means the day that they bring the Korban Pesach, and then that night they eat it. So the famous verse we know from Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Berditchever that we call it Chag HaMatzos, because we talk about the Eibishter calls it Chag HaMatzos to highlight the greatness of the Jewish people. They went out with only matzah tea. We call it Chag HaPesach to highlight the greatness of the Eibishter, that he jumped over our houses. But on Pshat level, the Eben Ezra is arguing Pesach and Chag HaMatzos are two different things. Pesach is your Dalet, Chag HaMatzos is Tesvav. So what's going on over here? The Torah is bringing two answers. Rabbi Natan says that actually, yes, the Gemara does mean over here the 15th. It means, what the Gemara is saying is, when it says, Vayechlo me'avur ha'aretz, they ate from the grain of the land, doesn't mean current grain. It means grain that grew in previous years. That they could only eat on the 15th. Beginning on the 16th, what? Yeah, exactly. With Yashin, right? Or beginning on the 16th, they could eat. They could eat chodesh. But when the pasuk says Ayosim Imachar Kapetzach, then it would have to mean that they ate on the 15th of Nisan. They still ate old stored up grain from previous years. Then Tosfos gives another answer. Which is that they had grain. First of all, they could buy grain from merchants. We're talking about as soon as they came in Eretz Yisrael, they were able to find some grain. They were able to buy from local merchants. They were able to take whatever. Yeah. Second of all, Tosfos says that the other possibility is Lashon Torah l'chod v'Lashon Nevi'im l'chod. Yes, in the Torah, the word Pesach means Yudal Nisan, the day of bringing the Korban Pesach. In Lashon Nevi'im, Yeshua is already the first of the Nevi'im. Pesach has a different meaning. It already means the 15th. Mimachas Pesach is the 16th. That's Tosfos, yes. So anyway, so back to the question, back to the Gemara then. So according to Rabbi Akiva, we can understand why they couldn't eat the new grain till the 16th, because they had already the Isser of Chadash as soon as they come into Eretz Yisrael. According to Tanit Vei Rabbi Shmuel, if they're only offering it 14 years later, why can't they eat it now? The answer is the Pasuk's not saying they couldn't, they weren't allowed to. What happened to Tzrichim? They didn't need to up until that point. They had still stored up money that they were able to eat until the 16th of Nisan. The Pasuk says, "V'nei Yisrael ochol haman abayim shana." The Jewish people ate the man for 40 years, abayim al eretz neshavet, until they came to a settled land. The Pasuk continues, "As haman ochol abayim al kseh eretz Kanaan." They ate the man until they came to the edge of Eretz Kanaan. Now, Rashi says, the words eretz neshavet and eretz Kanaan have two different meanings. Eretz neshavet means eretz neshavet, a settled land. Rashi says means the land on the west side of the Yarden, Eretz Yisrael proper. Say Eretz Kanaan, the edge of Eretz Kanaan, means the east side, when they're on the edge, when they're about to cross the Yarden. It's still an Arabic Moab. Tosfos says the other way around. Tosfos says that Eretz Neshavas means the land of Sichon and Og. The Ezra Yarden is called Eretz Neshavas because, in other words, it's a settled area as opposed to the desert that they had been wandering around for the last 40 years. As opposed to Eretz Kanaan, means Eretz Kanaan proper, west of the Yarden. Anyway, the point is, you have a contradiction in the Pasuk. When did they stop eating one? When they were in Arabic Moab, or when they crossed over the Yarden in Eretz Israel? So Rashi brings it on the positive. You can't say that they only ate it until they came to Eretz Neshavas. Let's go with Rashi, that it means Eretz Kanaan proper. Shekhar Nemar al Tse Eretz Kanaan, because it says that they only ate it till they were at the edge of Eretz Kanaan in Avris Moyav. V'yef Shalom al Tse Eretz Kanaan, Shadik Barnemar al Boyam al Eretz Neshavas. You have a contradiction within the positive. Okay, Sad. V'shiva ba'adr mes Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu passed away on Zayin Adar, as the Gemara will bring soon a braisa for how we derive that. For Pasek Mon Milerid, the Mon stopped falling on that day, on the 7th of Adar, while Mestapkin, Mimon Shabaklayim, and they continued eating from the Mon that they had stored up in their vessels at Shishas of Nisan until the 16th of Nisan, 5 weeks later. Okay, so there's a couple of interesting things that Mepharshim talk about that. One possibility is there's different days. When Moshe passed away Zayin Adar, which we're going to learn soon, what day of the week was that? There's one time. Yeshayim that it was Shabbos, and that's why I say it's Koskhan Shabbos. Yeshayim that it was Erev Shabbos. If it was Erev Shabbos, we know you were allowed to leave over from Erev Shabbos to Shabbos. That's how you have Lachan Mishnah. So in that case, then the whole Isser of leaving over didn't apply to that. Once they're allowed to leave over from that Erev Shabbos, then already they're able to continue using it for weeks afterwards. That, and there's other possibilities also, one of them being that once the month stopped falling, then all of the rules about the mon stopped applying. There's no more rules about not leaving it over. There's no rules about only one omer per girl. All those rules, that's it. Gone. Anyway, so that's what it is. So the rules that you're not allowed to leave over, the rules that each person is supposed to get an exact amount, all that, yeah. It applied only to the mon. But according to one way of looking at it, it only applied as long as the mon was falling. Once the last mon fell on Zayin Adar, comes the next day, Ches Adar, the rules are no longer in effect. So if we combine that with the previous opinion, let's say that they were able to leave from Zion to Ches, because Erev Shabbos to Shabbos, let's say, then that's it. That's it, yeah.
So they could eat only a fixed amount of man, but they could eat more of normal food?
Yeah, if they want, yeah. yeah. This isn't, by the way, this isn't the only opinion. The Sifrit, the Mechilta, or the Sifra, brings, I think, from Rabbi Yossi, who says that they continued to still eat mon for the next 14 years during the whole Yerusha V'Yeshiva process as well.
Where did he get it from?
I think he learns that it means when the Pasuk says they ate it for 40 years.
For 14 years.
Yeah, why not?
Is there a reason they couldn't store?
Originally they couldn't, but now there's an exception. Now there's an exception.
But there's nothing else coming down. So
that, okay, so that's why they still make. You know what? Maybe you could transfer. I mean, maybe what the Gemara is saying over here, they stopped eating it on Tet Zayin because Loi Hoyel of Nei Yisrael Oidmon. The Pasuk says maybe it means now there's not enough really to have a full meal of every day, but they still had small amounts and they store them for special occasions. Yeah, let's say once in a while. Yeah. I mean, look, I mean, you had the one jar of mon that was kept in front of the oven that was still good hundreds of years later, right? Okay, fine. But yeah. Okay, anyway. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Now we learn another braisa. We're talking about the mon. The Pasuk says the Jewish people ate the mon for 40 years. Now, what 40 years? They didn't eat it 40 full years. It was actually 40 years minus 30 days. Why? Because the mon first started falling out to Zion here. They took out matzahs with them from Mitzrayim. They ate them for a month. They ran out. They started complaining, we have no food. They have a hinini mamtu v'cham lachem min ha-shamayim. That started on Tetzayin here. It's actually an interesting opinion that some achronim bring, that maybe it didn't start Tetzayin, but rather Yud-Chet here, like Boimer, and that might be, that's one reason brought in some Sfarim why we celebrate like Boimer. Anyway, it started then. They ended eating it, we just said, on Tetzayin Nisan. So it's 40 years minus 30 days. Elohim Allah so teaches you, Ugas, Shetzium, Mitzrayim, the cakes of matzahs that they brought out of Mitzrayim, Tramo Behan Tam Mon. They tasted in those the taste of Mon. So they actually had the taste of Mon for 44 years, Miyom Liyom, because they started eating it when they left Mitzrayim, and 40 years later, to Zion this, and it was over.
There was a taste.
We learned in Yuma. I mean, there was a default taste. If you didn't think of anything else in particular, then what was it? For old people, it tasted like honey, and for middle-aged people, it tasted like I forget the details already, but yeah, whatever. It had sort of default taste depending on your age group, and then within that, you could make it taste like whatever you wanted. Tanya Yidach. Now we learn another bright. So we said before that the mon stopped falling on Zion Adar, because that's when Moshe Rabbeinu passed away. Now, where do we know? The Torah never tells us a date. How do we know that Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, Zayin Adar? So, Tanya Yidach, can you close the door, please? We learn in another braisa, the Shiva Ba'adar met Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu passed away on Zayin Adar, or the Shiva Ba'adar Nolad, and also he was born on the 7th of Adar. Minayin Shiva Ba'adar met. How do we know that he passed away on Zayin Adar? Shenemar. But the Pasuk says, "Vayomas from Moshe Eved Hashem," and Moshe passed away. After Vayivkub Reitzol as Moshe Avis Moav Shloshim Yom, they cried for Moshe for 30 days in Avis Moav. Uchtiv. Then the beginning of Yeshua says, "Vayiachar Moshe Eved Hashem." After that, the Eved Hashem speaks to Yeshua and he tells him, "Uchtiv Moshe Avimeis Va'ata Kumaver," and now get up and cross the Yarden. Uchtiv. Then further on in that same parak of Yeshua, it continues that Yeshua speaks to the people. He says, "Ivru b'kerav machne." He tells the officials in charge, pass through the camp of the Jewish people, but tzavu as the omlemer, and command the people to say, "Achinu lachan seder," prepare provisions for yourselves. Ki ba'ot shloshes yamim tavru as the yarden, because in 3 days you're going to be crossing the yarden. So far what we have is 30 days of mourning for Moshe.
Thank you.
That's Yeshua telling the shoterim to tell the Jewish people. After Hashem told them it's time to cross the Yarden, and then he tells them to start getting ready, we're going to be crossing in 3 days. Well, that's the thing. So far what we have is there's 30 days of mourning for Moshe, and 3 days of preparing to cross the Yarden. So, same as Uchtiv, and now what date did they cross the Yarden? Uchtiv, the Pasuk says, the people came up from the Yarden on the 10th of Nisan, Bashkach HaPratis, and that was today. Yeah, unusual that we have a Gemara that actually refers to today's date on the date, yeah.
Cross the Yarden on the 10th of Nisan.
Yeah. So what day did Moshe pass away? Say mehem shloshim or shloshim yom l'afreya. Subtract 33 days.
Why 33?
Because we said 3 days for 30 days for mourning and 3 for preparing. Because only after the mourning was over did Hashem talk with Yeshua. Because the Shechina doesn't rest on a person when he's depressed. So as long as the Jewish people were sad and crying over Moshe, then the Eved Hashem couldn't speak to Yeshua. Once that's over, then he could speak to him. How do you get 33 days? So we know how you get 33 days. How do you calculate backwards? Rashi says you have 10 days of Nisan, 23 of Adar. Now, Adar is always 29 days. So the first day of the mourning is Zayin. So therefore, you have 23 days out of a 29-day Adar. Subtract 6. Moshe was Nifter on Zayin. The mourning started that day. It ran through the rest of the 23 days of Adar, the first 7 days of Nisan. Then he tells the people, then the Eved Hashem speaks to him, and he tells the people, get ready, in 3 days we're going to be crossing. Tosfos learns the actual chronology a little bit differently. Tosfos says that maybe what you would say by Avelus is a mishtase yom kula, a part of a day can be considered like the whole day. So therefore, what it can be is the Eibishter can could have spoken to Yeshua on the 30th day itself. We don't have to assume that 30 full days passed and then the Eibishter spoke to Yeshua. It could be he spoke to him on the 30th day.
Morning.
In the morning, well, yeah, whatever. Anytime after Netzach Chama, let's say, because yeah, it's the same for Kula. Anyway, the bottom line is it comes out the same either way. You have 33 days, and 33 days back from your Nissan gets you to Zion Adar. Holamat the Shemeshuv Adar Met Moshe. So therefore, you see from that Moshe was Nifter on Zion Adar.
Okay, so don't know that.
Yeah. By the way, you know, our Gemara is just taking that as a given. The truth is, there are other opinions in Midrashim that give other possibilities. First of all, there's the day over there that it was Zayin Adar Rishon rather than Adar Sheni, and in that case, it wouldn't be 33 days. And the whole 33 days calculation doesn't work. It would have been 63 days from when he passed away until they crossed the Yarden. And then there's even an opinion. I think of Rabbi Eliezer that says that Moshe was Nifter Zayin Shvat. And again, it wasn't an Ibriyar, and again, from Zion Shvat till Yud Nissan in 53 days.
There was an Adar Sheni that year?
That's two different opinions. One is there were two Adars that year, and Moshe was Nifter in Adar Rishon. And another, that there was not. There was only one Adar,
so
and Moshe was Nifter Zion Shvat. And then we have our Gemara that says that it was Zion Adar HaSamachu Nissan, which means either there was no Ibriyar, and it was either there was an Ibriyar and it was Adar Sheni, or there was no Ibriyar and it was just plain Adar.
Can't we know by calculating?
How would we know by calculating? I mean, they did a Piyariya then. They decided when it's an Ibriyar based on when it's necessary.
They had to be in Yerushalayim. They weren't in Yerushalayim.
Before they came to Yerushalayim, then
I don't know when he was born.
That's the next thing the Brayta is going to say. One second. I was just mentioning the dates. So one of the Mefarshim says, I don't remember which one, that the reason is because when he passed away, we can derive from the Sukkim, as we just did. When he was born, we needed further drasha for that. So therefore, we start with when he passed away, because that's more obvious.
It's more obvious.
We can, yeah. Incidentally, by the way, that whole machlokas comes into play when we commemorate Zion Adar and Chevra Kedisha, those things. Which Adar do they do it in? An Ibriyar. They do it in Adar Rishon. One reason is because of that day that it was actually an Adar Rishon rather than Adar Sheni.
You could say they're also Adar Sheni.
There's other considerations also for this.
One Adar Rishon, one Adar Sheni.
Yeah. Also true. Okay. Yeah. All right. Anyway. Okay. Okay, so now how do we know that Moshe was born on Zayin Adar? Shenema, the pasuk says, "Vayomer aleihem ben mei ve'etzim shana anochi hayom." Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Jewish people, "I'm 120 years old today. Le'uchal adlatis v'lava, I can no longer go out and come in." She'ein tamud le'ma hayom. Now the pasuk doesn't have to say hayom. Ben mei ve'etzim shana anochi. I'm 120 years old. What does the hayom had? Famous thing. Shachodesh Baruch Hu Yosef Malish Nesem. Shall Tzadikim Miyom Liyom Machodesh Lachodesh. That the Eibush sits and fills up the years of Tzadikim. That it should be the exact date and the exact date in the month and the exact month. Shenemar Mitzvayimach Amale. The pasuk says, "I will fill up the days of your years."
The Rebbe was born
Yudalef Nissan and then was Nissan Gimel Tammuz. Okay. The Rebbe wants to talk about it. Hold on. The Rebbe wants to talk about it in connection with the Mithil. The Rebbe was born in Nistalik on the same day, Test Kislev. So the Rebbe says, this that the Gemara is saying over here, of course it applies to all tzaddikim. However, not with all of them do you actually see it, the Gashmi is here on earth. Some of them you do, some of them you don't.
In other words, if he didn't pass away on his birthday,
it doesn't mean he wasn't a tzaddik, it means that the Eibishter has his own calculations. Actually, Ben Yehoyada, to break into what the Rebbe is saying, I'll tell you, Ben Yehoyada says an interesting thing on it. He says, for example, your average person, even, you know, he develops, a person is a tzaddik. Okay, we learn from Tanya, a person is born with the ability to be a tzaddik, but it takes time to develop it. There comes a point in a person's lifetime when he's reached the shleimus of what a tzaddik is. The Eibishter counts from then. So therefore, it's not necessarily the day he was born. So with Moshe Rabbeinu, he was born perfect. He was born Nolad Mahul, etc. So therefore, by him, you actually see it in Gashmius that he was born Zayin Adar and Nifter Zayin Adar. But by most tzaddikim, not necessarily. Actually, it's an interesting thing. Ben Yehoyada himself, he became a Rav on Yud Gimel Elul, and he was Nifter Yud Gimel Elul 50 years later. So he had that kind of Milu Shonim in the way that he himself is talking about. But anyway, like the Ben Yoyada, the Ben Ishchai. Anyway, the Rebbe explained in the Sicha about the Mitzvah Rebbe that it is true of all tzaddikim. However, usually you don't see it actually come down the Gashmias into our world for one reason or another. By the Mitzvah Rebbe, you saw it actually openly the Gashmias. Another place, for example, that ever talked about, for example, Rambam was born Erev Pesach and was Nifter Chof Tevis. Between Chof Tevis and Erev Pesach, there were 83 days. The missing 83 days correspond to the 83 Sfarim of Reb Nat, so the 83 sets of the 83 groups of halachas in Yad HaChazaka. So therefore, like the Eibishter was Mamala, he had including 83, so to speak, like he accomplished what usually would have been accomplished in those 83 days by writing the 83 sets of halachos of Mishnah Torah.
When was he born?
He was born Erev Pesach. And he was Nifter Chof Tevis.
David HaMelech.
David HaMelech was Nifter on Shavuos. And there are Mephoshim who say that he was born Shavuos as well, and they say that's one reason why we read Megillas Rus, which talks about his ancestry on Shavuos. So now we're done
with that whole discussion. So now we understand what was going on with the Mun, and that explains then. So we have the two different possibilities going back to what brought us into this, so about Chodesh. Two possibilities why they started eating the new grain of Eretz Yisrael only on the 16th of Nisan, either because they couldn't beforehand because the Issur of Chodesh applied, or they could have, but they had Mun up until that point and they preferred eating Mun. There were three mitzvahs. Among all the mitzvahs, there were three that the Jewish people were commanded that they only come into effect when they come into Eretz Yisrael. And yet, they apply both in Eretz Yisrael and outside of it. Meaning, in other words, he's saying they did not apply during the years in the Midbar, but once you came into Eretz Yisrael, then they start applying in all times and all places. And in fact, we can use logic to show that they should apply outside Eretz Yisrael. The three are Chodosh, Kalayim, and Orla. So he says like this. Now, out of those, the only one, now again, Rav Shimon Yochai is going within the opinion of Rav Akiva before, who said that when the Torah says Moshe Seichem, it means all times, all places. Out of these three mitzvahs, Chodosh, Orla, and Kalaya Kerem, the only one that it says Moshe Seichem is Chodosh. So he uses that as the basis for his argument. So, Uma Chodosh, She'eni Sura Yisraelim. Now, let's consider, Madr Chodosh, which it's not also forever, meaning it's only also up till the 16th of Nisan. Okay, Tosfos discusses the details. Does it become both of the morning of the 16th, when they bring the Omer, the evening, after the 16th, different possibilities. We learned about it a little bit in Rosh Hashanah. Anyway. But at some point it becomes mutter. The Eini Sura Isur Hanah, and there's no Isur Hanah in it. You're allowed to, even before the Omer is brought, you're not allowed to eat the grain, but you're allowed to harvest it to feed to your animals, for example. The Yesh Heterli Sura, and there is a Heter for it, meaning, so Rashi says Yesh Heterli Sura means even on the 16th itself. We're saying that Eini Sura Isur Olam means when there's no Omer being brought, and it's also the entire 16th day of Nisan. When there's an Omer, then the Isur expires even earlier, in the middle of the day, whenever they bring a carbon Omer. Tosfos brings a number of other possibilities. What any sura isur olam and yesh heteri sura means. Among others, one of them is that yesh heteri sura means you're allowed to cause the isur in the first place. Kalayim, as the Gemara is going to say soon, you're not allowed to plant kalayim in the first place. But for example, you're allowed to plant grain before the omer is brought. You're allowed to plant grain after the omer is brought, and it won't be mutter until next year. You're allowed to create a situation where there will be grain which is chadash. What? Yeah. Well, no, winter grain is not a problem as soon as the Omer is brought. Or
after the Omer?
Yeah. The din is, as long as it took root before the Omer is brought, then that year's Korban Omer is matter it, or the end of the 16th of Nisan, as the case may be. But if it was planted after that, then you have to wait till the following year's Omer.
No, because you cannot plant it.
No, obviously. So it also takes time to take root. Well, that's what we're discussing over here, whether Chodesh applies in or out of Eretz Yisrael. That's the whole point we're discussing. But
And as I said yesterday, there's also a major machlokas rishonim who the halacha is like in the end. Does Chodesh apply outside of Yisrael or does it not? We know there's the opinion of the Bach that we Lubavitcher Chassidim fought and many other groups of Chassidim also follow, that it doesn't apply, at least not to grain grown by goyim outside of Yisrael. The Litvisha, they hold because the Vilna Gaon actually writes against the Bach. He says many other Achronim argue with the Bach and disprove his various proofs. Yeah, it's pretty complex.
The Taz agrees with his
father. The Taz agrees with his Shvei. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, Tosfos brings a bunch of other possibilities. What it means when we say Eini Sura Yisur Olam and Yesh Heter Li'Sura. So Yesh Heter Li'Sura, one of them, Tosfos says, is it can mean that Rabbeinu Yom Tov, they quote, says that means you're allowed to plant grain, even though it'll be Chodosh for a while. Unlike, for example, Kalayim, you're not allowed to plant. Another one is, for example, that when we say Yesh Heter Li'Sura, one of them is that that's what Tosfos is discussing. So Rashi is learning that any surah yisro olam means that no matter what, it will be mutter after the 16th nisan has passed. And yesh heter li'surah, meaning that it's possible even that it will become mutter even earlier if they bring the omer earlier in the day. If there's an omer and it's brought earlier in the day. But again, there's a few other possibilities. It can mean any surah, yesh heter li'surah can mean you're allowed to plant it. Yesh heter li'surah can also mean that Basin is able to make it become mutter faster. Namely, let's say they decide the previous month is chaser rather than mali, then you gain one day. Also, for example, yesh heter li'surah can also mean, for example, the tshuva which is chodesh doesn't. Let's say, for example, you do plant it and it takes root. Let's say for example, the korban omer is brought, but you haven't harvested the grain yet, and it still keeps on growing. You don't say whatever grew after the omer is brought becomes also until next omer, as opposed to kalayim, you would say that. Anyway, and yet, even with all of those things, there's no issur olam, it's not an issur hanah, and there's a heter for it, no yigvein ba'oretz ben b'chotzot, and yet Chodosh applies, Rashbi says, both in Eretz Yisrael and in Chotzot, kilayim she'issur and issur olam, so now kilayim, specifically we're talking about kilayim kerem, Kilayim of the vineyard. Reb Shimon Yochai is saying this. Yeah. It's saying that Kilayim, which all three of those are, it has yes, Isur and Isur Olam, Kilayim are also forever. They become also to ever eat. The Isur and Isur Hanah, there's an Isur Hanah, you have to burn them. The Ein Hetzur Isurim, there's no way to make it mutter ahead of time, for example, based in however they manipulate the calendar or whatever, is not going to make a difference to that. And you're talking not allowed to plant it in the first place. No yigvein ba'aretz ben mechutzlo. So in a dinch, you never go ben ba'aretz ben mechutzlo. How much more so than kolay akedem should apply whether in Eretz Yisrael or outside Eretz Yisrael? But what in la'ola b'shtayim? And we can prove by the same logic that it's a kavachomer, fine. Yeah. And the same thing, we can use the same kavachomer to show that orla, two of these three things, also apply to orla at hello, and therefore also it should apply outside Eretz Yisrael. What are the two things? Rashi says, Ola is takanat isu olam, because eventually the tree will mature beyond 3 years and you'll be able to eat the fruit from it. However, it is the fruit that grew during those 3 years is also b'hana, and during those 3 years there's no heter li'surah. Again, Tosfos's various possibilities of what it means, yesh heter li'surah and any surah isu olam, is also going to affect the various explanations are going to affect the understanding of this also. For example, again, you're allowed to create orla, you're allowed to plant a tree, even though it's going to be orla for the first 3 years. Again, based in can, depending on how the lengths of the months and the years are set up, orla can end sooner or later. And yesh heter li'surah, no, I mean the actual fruit itself that grows during the first 3 years never becomes mutter, but again, like Rashi said, the tree itself eventually matures and eventually you have fruit that grows during the fourth year, which is mutter. Also, eventually you have neter ravai, the fourth year, which is also unless you bring it to your shlaim or unless you put it there, but yeah. But anyway, so the point is, two out of these three things apply to Orla, and therefore he says by the same Kabachomer, Orla should also apply outside of Israel. And as he said, all three of them do. Chodesh, Kalaya, Kerem, and Orla all apply Minatzer. That's the thing. He's saying Minatzer. We're going to learn on Amud Beis that there are different opinions about whether Orla outside of Israel is. He's saying it's Minatzer. We're going to learn the possibilities that Talakum Meshmi Sinai, or Midrabanon, or whatever. He holds that it's Deraisa. and also Chodosh, and also Kalayakim. Rav Elazar ben Rav Shimon, I remember now, Rav Elazar ben Rav Shimon disagrees with his father. He says, no, kol mitzvah shenitzavu Yisrael kodem k'nisas l'aretz, any mitzvah that the Jewish people were commanded before they came into Eretz Yisrael, meaning a chovas aguf, neheges ben ba'aretz ben b'chutz l'aretz, that applies whether in Eretz Yisrael or outside Eretz Yisrael, but la'acha k'nisas, and any mitzvah that was told that it's only applicable once you come into la'acha k'nisas l'aretz, that any mitzvah that they're told is only applicable after you come into Eretz Yisrael, ain't in neheges el ba'aretz. That kind of mitzvah only applies in Eretz Yisrael. Which means, in other words, therefore, so he's saying that none of these, he's saying that Chodosh and Orla and Kalayachedem don't apply outside Eretz Yisrael, because all of those are only supposed to be applying after you come into Eretz Yisrael. Or by all of them, it says, Kisavoyu ala Aretz. Okay, Chodosh actually, maybe not. Kisavoyu ala Aretz, but Chodosh is actually talking about the Korban Omer. Only at the end of that section does it talk about Chodosh. So, okay, maybe he might agree with his father on Chodosh, but he disagrees on Orla and Kalayachedem, because both of those are introduced. Actually, Kalayachedem, not actually. Kalayachedem, it doesn't say Kisavoyu, but Orla, at least. Orla does say Kisavoyu ala
Aretz.
But I don't know. So Chodosh is questionable, because it does say Kisavoyu, but at the beginning of that parasha, but in connection with the Korban Omer. Kalayachedem, it doesn't say at all. Kalayakerem, we're talking about. There are several different kinds of Kalayim. We're going to talk about a good deal tomorrow, what kind of Kalayim we're dealing with over here. Primarily, we're dealing with Kalayakerem, which is the most stringent of all the Kalayim. Kalayakerem is the only kind that's also Bana. If you have to realize there's several different types of Kalayim. There's Kalay Zoyim, you know, to plant different grains or vegetables or whatever together. But there's a lot of kulos in those, and if you do, they don't become osabana. There's kalai ilon, where you graft a branch from one tree onto another. Again, it's also to do, but the fruit doesn't become osir by it. There's kalai akerem, when you plant vegetables or grain or whatever in a vineyard, or we'll talk about tomorrow that you plant, maybe that we're talking about, that you plant grain together with that at the same time as grape seeds, whatever, that becomes also bana, and that becomes also bana.
That's called?
It's called Kalayakerem.
Kalayakerem.
It means Kalayim with a vineyard.
With a vineyard.
That kind is the most stringent kind. Aside from that, you have Kalay Behema and Kalay and Kalayim and clothes, shatnez, but those Kalay Behema and shatnez are chovas and guf, obviously those apply everywhere. We're mainly focusing over here on Kalayakerem. So anyway, so Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon is saying that no, it depends whether they were commanded that it takes effect when they come into Eretz Yisrael or not. So Ola, maybe Chodosh, not necessarily Kalayakerem, but yeah. Chutz min hashmotes ksofim v'shaloach vadim, except for shmitas ksofim, that you have to forgive debts in shmitah, and sending slaves free, even though those are mitzvahs that the Jewish people were commanded to do only after they come into Eretz Yisrael, nevertheless, those apply everywhere, even after, so once they came into Eretz Yisrael, they go into effect for all time. Why wouldn't it apply outside Eretz Yisrael? Well, he's saying that any mitzvah that you're told only that it applies only when you come into Eretz Yisrael. Hashmat Hashkafim. First of all, the Torah doesn't actually say on it when you come into Eretz Yisrael. But anyway, it's a Chovas Haguf. He's making the distinction between Chovas Haguf and Chovas Hakarka, the same distinction as in our Mishnah. But Hashmat Hashkafim has nothing to do with Karka. Yeah. Answer is Lenitzucha Elo L'Chibitanya. Yes, but what we need him to mention it is that. He holds, based on the following brayta, this is how Rashi's learning. At the end, we'll talk about how Joseph's learning more differently. But anyway, going with Rashi now, we need him to be telling us, because you have another brayta that implies that Shemitah Ksafim only applies after they came into Eretz Yisrael. Namely, even after they come into Eretz Yisrael, it's a Chovas Haguf, but it's a Chovas Haguf that only applies once you come into Eretz Yisrael, because it's tied to Shemitah Ksafim. Look at the Tanya, as we learn in a Braisa, the Tanya, Rebbe Omer, when the Pasuk says, V'zeh dvar ha-shmita shomayt, this is the matter of the shmita, you have to let go, v'shtei shmita sakos medav, the double expression, v'zeh dvar ha-shmita shomayt, means there's two kinds of shmita we're talking about over here. Achas shmitas karka, v'achas shmitas ksofim. One is the shmitas karka, one is shmitas karka, v'achas shmitas ksofim, and the other one is the shmita of money, of debt.
Tosfos, by the way, discusses over here, within Rashi's opinion, within their own opinion, what do we mean by Shemitah's Karka? There's two possibilities. Shemitah's Karka can mean that you don't work the land during Shemitah, or Shemitah's Karka can mean that you return Karka to its owners in Yovel. Rashi seems to be understanding the first way, that it means Shemitah's Karka in the sense of not working the land every Shemitah. No, but what does it mean by Shemitah's Karka? So, Bizman Sha'atim Meshamet Karka, Atim Meshamet Kesafim. So, when you. No, but you could argue Meshamet Karka means to let go of land and return it to its owners. So, Bizman Sha'atim Meshamet Karka, Atim Meshamet Kesafim. So, only in a time when you do Shemitah's Karka, then Shemitah's Kesafim is in effect. Bizman Sha'atim Meshamet Karka, Yatim Meshamet Kesafim. If there's no Shemitah's Karka, for example, Rashi says before they came into Eretz Yisrael and after the Golos, there's no Shemitah's Karka because there's no land in Eretz Yisrael to leave. There's no Shemitah, then that's what Rebbe is saying. Then there's no Shemitah's Kesafim. Shemitah's Kesafim is that you have to forgive debt. You're not allowed to collect the debt after Shemitah. That's what Hillel made a Prozbul for. So we learned in Gittin, we had a whole sugya about Prozbul in Gittin, discussing how Hillel could make a Takana of Prozbul, which on the face of it, it prevents the Torah says you have to be Meshamet to your loan, and like this, you're collecting them on the basis of a Takana Derabbanan. We said two possibilities over there. We had one possibility, okay, Hefker based in Hefker. But then we had the other opinion over there, the other possibility. We said over there we had a Bayah and Rabbah, we're talking about it. The other possibility is Shemitah in Hillel's times is only Dirabbanan, based on this Din of Rebbe. The second Beis Hamikdash, but it wasn't, so that Rashi and Tosfos, hold on. Rashi and Tosfos discuss over there that during the time of the second Beis Hamikdash, there wasn't Kol Yishveh Alel. Not all the Jewish people were living in Eretz Yisrael. Most of them were in Babel. And you had the Aseret HaShvatim had been taken into Galus. Yeah. So therefore, Yovel was not in effect during the second Beis Hamikdash. And therefore, Shemitah, if we say here that Shemitah's Karka means returning the land to their owners, that didn't happen during the second Beis Hamikdash. Therefore, Shemitah's Kesafim, according to Rebbe, was also only Dirabbanan. Therefore, Hillel could override that Dirabbanan with a Takana of his own. And Tosfos discussed over there the possibilities. Maybe they did have Yovel in the time of the second Beis Hamikdash. Okay, anyway, we had that discussion back in Gittin. Anyway, the point is we had Rashi and Tosfos discuss it over there. So based on what Rebbe's saying, it comes out that yes, only when they came into Eretz Yisrael, Shemitah's Karka is not in effect before that. Neither is Shemitah's Kesafim. Therefore, Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, who holds that same, we could argue that he holds that same way. So therefore, he has to tell us that no, not exactly like Rebbe's saying. I agree with Rebbe that it didn't take effect until Shemitah's Kesafim did not take effect till they came into Eretz Yisrael. But once they came into Eretz Yisrael, it remains in effect forever. Unlike Rebbe, who's saying that when you're not Meshamet Karka, you're not Meshamet Kesafim, I say that once it came into existence, it exists forever. We say over there in Gittin, that's only Dirabbanan. And again, that's why Hillel was able to make his Takana over Prozbul. Yeah.
But that's the halacha.
Gemara asks, and in fact, that's why the Rambam said that a Prozbul is only able to be effective when Shemitah's Kesafim is Dirabbanan. When Mashiach comes, Shemitah's Kesafim is Doraisa again, no Prozbul. The Gemara asks, why are you saying that it means that it's limiting this hekesh between the two kinds of Shemitah? Why are you saying it applies to time? Maybe it applies to place. The aim of a mock Meshata Meshamat Karka after Meshamat Kesafim. Why? Maybe what the Torah means is in a place in Eretz Yisrael, when you do Shemitah Karka after Meshamat Kesafim, there also only there Shemitah Kesafim applies. But in a place outside of Israel where there's no Shemitah's Karka, according to either definition, you don't return fields to their owners and you don't leave them fallow during Shemitah. Ainat Meshamet Kesafim. How do you know that Shemitah's Kesafim? Maybe it means that Shemitah's Kesafim doesn't apply there either. Talmud Loimar, no. The answer is you can't say that because the pasuk says Kikora Shemitah LaHashem Mikol Mokum. Because the pasuk continues about Shemitah's Kesafim. The pasuk says because there's a Shemitah called for Hashem. That's a ribui implying that it applies everywhere in the world. So therefore, we have to say,
Hashem
therefore,
means everywhere in the world.
Well, because the whole world belongs to Hashem, yeah. So we see from that that if the Torah is telling us a limitation when Shemitah's Kesafim is applied, it has to mean a limitation in time, not a limitation in space.
Tosfos has a completely different understanding of the Mahalach and the Gemara, in particular, because Tosfos has a problem. If Talmud Lomer Kikora Shemitah Lashem Mikom Rokim was meant to be an answer, it wouldn't just say Talmud Lomer. It would say Ella Talmud Lomer, it would do Lahochito, whatever. It would say some Loshen. Yeah, there would be some Loshen over there indicating that this is meant as an answer to the question. So therefore, Tosfos learns that a little differently. That Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon is saying, okay, so you have this hekesh of Rebbe that b'shtei shmitas hakosam medaber, and not ask a question, I can't see right now the actual Lashon that Tosfos wants to replace the Ema with, but whatever. And it's a continuation of the thing. How do we know that it's not the Mokum Shatam Hashamat Kaka, etc., is because Kikora Shemitah Lashem. So it's not the question and the answer, therefore, are phrased. So it's not Rashi was saying that you have Rebbe's Hekish, and then we're asking that maybe Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon holds a different Hekish, and we're answering no Kikara Shemitah Lashem. According to Tosfos, the whole thing is Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon's interpretation. It's not a question and answer, it's rather one long interpretation of how we know that Shemitah Sofim depends on Shemitah's character. And therefore, and Mao de Tema, that's what Tosfos says. And then instead of Ve'ema, Mao de Tema. You would think to say that maybe you're not Meshamet Sofim outside of Eretz Yisrael, but no, Kikara Shemitah Lashem tells us that you are. And therefore, he says that's what brings him to say that Shemitah Sofim applies outside of Eretz Yisrael.
Rather than, according
to Rashi, you have the reason why he needs to say that is because you would think from Rebbe's Hekish, you would think that not. Tosfos is learning that, no, he's saying that because of Rebbe's Hekish, we say that it applies, because of Rebbe's Hekish, we say that it applies always. As opposed to, if we were to say Ma'u de Tema, then we would think that not. Okay, now we said the second thing he mentioned was Shiluach Abadim, sending away slaves. What do you mean? Why does that need to be an exception either? Chovas HaGufi. Again, that's also a Chovas HaGufi. Of course it applies everywhere. The answer is you would think you would think since the Pasuk says you should call out freedom in the land, proclaim liberty throughout the land, as it says on the Liberty Bell, you would think you would think maybe it only implies in Eretz Yisrael, not in Chutz La'aretz. The Pasuk says it is Yovel, meaning Mekol Mokum, no matter what.
Yovel
he means it is Yovel, regardless. When it's the year of Yovel, it's the time, yeah.
Bound to time.
Yeah, bound to time, not the face, yeah. So what does the word ba'aret mean? It means v'zman shadror noig ba'aret, noig v'chutz la'aretz, at a time when freedom of slaves applies in Eretz Yisrael, when Yovel is in effect, again, when Kol Yoshvei Olah, when all 12 Shvatim, or the majority of them, are in Eretz Yisrael, noig v'chutz la'aretz, then it applies in Chutz La'aretz as well. So if you live in Chutz La'aretz during that time, when most of the Jewish people are living in Eretz Yisrael, and you have an Eved Ivri, you have to send him free in Yovel. Ain't dror noig ba'aret. Whereas if dror is not noig in Eretz Yisrael, when not kol yoshvei olah, ain't a noig b'chutz la'aretz, and it's not noig outside Eretz Yisrael either. There's actually another possibility that one of the Rishonim, I think the Ravid, says that the Gemara may also mean is we learned the way back in Rosh Hashanah we learned the Gemara had said that there's three mitzvahs of yovel. There's freeing slaves, returning fields, and blowing the shofar. Aside from it has all the restrictions of Shemitah as well as far as working the land. The Gemara So the Gemara mentions a multi-way machlokus over there. Which of those three mitzvahs are essential for it to be yovel? Meaning, there was just shofar, freeing the slaves, and returning the fields. Which of those three? For example, if they didn't blow shofar, is it officially considered yovel or not? Maybe yes, maybe not. So bizman shadro noig ba'aretz can also mean if they actually put yovel into effect in Eretz Yisrael by doing whichever of these mitzvahs are essential to it being yovel, then it would be noig b'chutz la'aretz also, and if not, then not.
And the answer is?
So that's another explanation in the Gemara. What the answer is as far as which mitzvahs, like I say, you have a number of different opinions over there in the Gemara, which ones are the essential ones. Each of them learns it from different psukim. T'nan Hossam. We'll start a new discussion now, and we'll continue it tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. T'nan Hossam. We learn in a Mishnah in Masechta Orla Ha-chodosh also min ha-torah b'chomakim. Chodosh is also min ha-torah everywhere. Orla halacha. Orla is also everywhere as a halacha. What kind of halacha we'll talk about in a minute. Va-kalayim medivin seferim. And kalayim, meaning again, kalay akerim, is also midrabanan. My halacha, what kind of halacha are we talking about? Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, hilchos medina. It means a halacha of the country. Meaning it's not an official issu d'rabbanan. The people outside Eretz Yisrael were noyig for themselves, and therefore it became the established halacha that orla is also to them. The meaning of medina, basically. No, the Jews.
Oh, Jewish.
Yeah. I mean, whether we're talking about orla grown by Jews or by goyim, that we're going to discuss more tomorrow. But yeah.
So we're talking about Eretz Yisrael.
No, we're talking outside Eretz Yisrael. B'chol makom.
Orla,
of course.
Orla.
We'll get there tomorrow. Wait.
No, I don't understand.
We're saying that
Medina means
Hilchos Medina would mean Midrabanan it would be mutter, but the people Midbaraita would be mutter, even Midrabanan would be mutter, but the people would know you got themselves to treat it as aser. Ula Amar Rabbi Yechon, that's Shmuel. Ula Amar Rabbi Yechon Halacha L'Moshe Mitzinai. No, it actually means Halacha L'Moshe Mitzinai. Okay, according to me, who says that Orla outside of Israel is also as Halacha L'Moshe Mitzinai, Hainu D'Shani Long Ben Sofik Orla L'Sofik Kilayim. Then, if we say Orla is Halacha L'Moshe Mitzinai, Kilayim, the Mishnah is telling us, is only also outside of Israel, Medivere Sofim. Then we can understand why there is a difference in Dinim between Sofik Orla and Sofik Kilayim. It's now, as we learn in a Mishnah, also in Orla over there. Sofik Orla Ba'aretz Aser. If you have a Sofik, whether something is Orla, in Eretz Yisrael, it's Aser. The Syria Mutter, in Syria, the areas of Syria and Lebanon or whatever that David conquered, it's Mutter. The Chutzla Aretz Yoder V'Lekeach, and if it's outside Eretz Yisrael, even further out than Syria, Syria, the problem is, it may too easily be confused with Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, we won't be machmir on a sofik of it, but a vade of it will still be also. B'chutzlaret yored v'lekeach. In chutzlaret, you can actually go into a yid can go to a goy who is collecting fruit, who's picking fruit from a place that has young and old trees, even though you don't know whether the one he picked from is a young tree or not. Or v'vatchala yored like it, as long as you don't actually see him picking from a young tree. That's by Olam. Yet by Kalayim we say more strictly, we learn, not more leniently, Kerem and Atur Yerek, if you have a vineyard that's planted with vegetables in it, the Yerek Nimka Chutzloy, and then you have somebody standing outside the vineyard selling vegetables, but Oretz Aser, and Eretz Yisrael, such a thing would be Aser, because he's probably selling produce from that vineyard, and therefore it's Aser, but Surya Mutter, and Surya would be Mutter, but Chutzloy is Yerek Veloiket, and in Chutzloy, the guy can actually go and collect from the actual vineyard itself, or eventually, Yoket Beyad, as long as the Yid himself doesn't go and collect by hand. So we'll continue the discussion tomorrow. But the point is that so far the point is if we say that there's a difference, if we say that Orla is also in Chutzal, it's as Halacha L'Moshe Mitzinai, and Kalayim is more lenient because Divrei Sofrim, fine, then we can understand why that's what we're doing over here. We're saying that Orla is more stringent. Sofik Orla is in Chutzal, it's Yored V'Lekeach V'Vatchala Yireu Loikis. But you have over here that you're being more machmir with Sofik Orla than you are with Sofik Kalayim. Because we're saying by Sofik Orla we're saying you can go by, you just can't see the guy actually taking from an Orla tree. Here, all it is, the guy can actually go in there and collect the fruit. You can't collect it. So we see that there's a kula when it comes to Kalayim. So if Kalayim has Dirabanan and Orla is Halacha L'Moshe Mitzinai, fine. If they're both Dirabanan, why are you making a distinction? So that's what we'll continue with that tomorrow, Mr. Chairman.